Good evening and welcome everyone. We'll start in a minute. People are joining the virtual dais. Good evening and welcome everyone. We'll start short in a minute. Good evening and welcome everyone. We are waiting. People are joining. We'll be starting in a minute. Vivek, we have about 80 people. We can start now.
Thanks, Anand. Hi, everyone. Good evening. We welcome to the Info Edge India Limited Q1 24 results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be on listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please raise your hand on your screen. Please note that this call is being recorded. From the management side, we have Mr. Sanjeev Vichandani, founder and vice chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, co-promoter and managing director, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, chief financial officer and whole-time director. Before we begin today, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide number 2 of investor presentations for a detailed disclaimer. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remark. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vivek, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Q1 24 earnings call. As always, we'll start with an update on standalone financials and then talk about the external environment and then cover each business financials in detail. The audited financial statements and other schedules on segmental billing, revenues, etc., along with the data sheet have been uploaded on our website, infoedge.in. Moving on to our standalone financial results, revenue in Q1 stood at rupees 584.3 crores, a year-on-year growth of 15.1%. Overall billings in Q1 stood at rupees 523 crores, a nominal drop of 0.2% year-on-year. Billings and revenues along with acquired businesses Zwayam and DoSelect for the quarter stood at rupees 539 crores and rupees 600 crore respectively, registering a year-on-year growth of 0.4% and 15.2% respectively. Operating expenses for the quarter were rupees 375.4 crore, a year-on-year growth of 5.6%, and operating profit for the quarter stood at rupees 208.9 crores versus rupees 152.3 crores last year, a year-on-year growth of 37.2%. And operating profit margins for the quarter stood at 35.8% compared to 30% for the same quarter last year. And operating profit, including acquired businesses, stood at rupees 210 crores, a year-on-year increase of 35.8%. Cash from operations for the quarter stood at rupees 144.7 crores compared to rupees 164.5 crores in Q1 of 23, down 12% year-on-year. And deferred sales revenue stood at rupees 958.8 crores as of 30th of June 2023, versus rupees 825.4 crores as of 30th of June 2022, a year-on-year growth of 16.2%. The cash balance of Info Edge, including the wholly owned subsidiaries, stands at rupees 3562 crores as on 30th of June 2023, versus rupees 3439 crores as of 30th of June 2022. Talking about our recruitment business, we continue to witness a challenging environment, especially for IT hiring. Slow growth and reduced discretionary spends for our IT customers has led to resource rationalization during the quarter. We also face strong headwinds from our recruitment consultants, especially the ones who hire for IT companies. The Naukri JobSpeak Index is on a declining trend. Index of for the month of July was down 8% sequentially and 19% year-on-year, while for Q1 of 24, the index is down 3% year-on-year. The current phase of real estate market, characterized by low inventory, stable interest rates, and higher affordability, and price corrections and residential rentals continue to rise and have peaked in most metro markets. Moving on to the quarterly financials of the recruitment business, in Q1 of 24, the recruitment segment billings were down 4.2% year-on-year and stood at rupees 397.5 crores, while revenue was rupees 446.4 crores, a year-on-year growth of 15.3%. Operating profit stood at rupees 263.5 crores, a year-on-year growth of 17% from Q1 of last year. Margins stood at 59% against 58.2% last year. Cash from operations for recruitment during the quarter stood at rupees 206.1 crores as compared to rupees 235.4 crores in Q1 of last year. Billings for Naukri India for the quarter were down 7% year-on-year and stood at rupees 329.4 crores, while revenues for the quarter stood at rupees 372.3 crores, a year-on-year growth of 13.9% for Naukri India. A recruitment segment billing, including acquired businesses for the quarter, were down 3.3% year-on-year and stood at rupees 413.5 crores. Hiring from core IT clients poses a challenge to billing growth. However, the business witnessed positive momentum in a few pockets in this space, especially captive centers. Non-IT businesses maintained reasonable growth momentum during the quarter, with growth in hiring reported by manufacturing, BFSI, healthcare, retail, hospitality, and infra sectors. While we maintained our pricing levels during the quarter, delayed renewal and volume reduction led to billing contraction. With longer sales cycles and hiring being predominantly backfilled, sales teams focused on ensuring timely renewals. On the job seeker side, engagement on the platform was high during the quarter, with 6% growth in active user base, 7% growth in daily users, and 21% growth in daily modifications of CVs. Moving on to the real estate business, 99acres, billings in Q1 grew by 20% year-on-year and stood at rupees 73.4 crores, while revenue grew from rupees 66.3 crores in Q1 to 82.7 crores in Q1 of 2024, a year-on-year growth of 24.6%. Operating loss for the quarter stood at rupees 22.5 crores against a loss of rupees 38 crores reported in the same quarter of last year. The business reported a cash outflow from operations of 40 crores for the quarter against an outflow of rupees 46.6 crores in the same quarter last year. The billing growth in 99acres for the last two or three quarters has been good and reflects the positive sentiment in the underlying real estate market. The billing growth is also backed by strong traction of user activity on the platform. The traffic on the platform increased in mid-teens and the responses on the platforms increased over 25%. The user actions on the platform indicate a strong demand environment for Q2 2024 as well. The quarter also witnessed an increase in the number of brokers and owner clients on the platform. A number of new projects and live listings were also on an increasing trend. Our listing realization continued to increase year on year on the back of price hikes, improved response rates, and increased value adds for our customers. 99acres will continue to invest on platform experience, differentiated content, client delivery, and marketing to generate more traffic and leads for our customers. In the Shiksha business, in Q1, billing stood at rupees 33.3 crores, a year-on-year growth of 9.8%, while revenue stood at rupees 35.8 crores, a year-on-year growth of 14.6%. The business incurred an operating loss of rupees 1 crore during the quarter against a profit of rupees 5.3 crores reported in Q1 of last year. The cash from operations for the quarter stood at rupees 30 lakhs against an inflow of rupees 5.3 crores in Q1 of last year. While there was healthy growth in platform traffic and student responses, clients reported a delayed pickup in conversion of student inquiries into applications and admissions. We continue to make long-term investments in the study abroad business and strengthening our platform, improving our counseling services in this space. In the Jeevansathi business, billings in Q1 grew by 6.4% year-on-year to rupees 18.8 crores and revenue declined by 15.3% year-on-year to rupees 19.4 crores. The operating loss for the quarter stood at rupees 18 crores against a loss of rupees 28.7 crores last year. Cash outflow from operations for the quarter stood at rupees 21.1 crores against an outflow of rupees 49.8 crores in Q1 of last year. The new products to monetize increased traffic from free chat have shown some positive results, and business plans to continue will continue with this strategy for the next few quarters. Spends on marketing were further moderated during the quarter. The spends are down 29% sequentially and 48% year-on-year. Intense competition in the category continues as multiple players try to vie for market share in this category. As far as consolidated financial highlights go, at the consolidated level, the net sales of the company stood at rupees 625.9 crores versus rupees 547.3 crores in Q1 of last year. For the consolidated entity, at the total comprehensive income level, there is a gain of rupees 3,001.9 crores versus a loss of rupees 3,342 crores for the corresponding previous quarter ending in June 30th of 2023. Consolidated PBT stood at rupees 216.7 crores in Q1 versus rupees 339.4 crores in Q1 of last year. Thank you, and we are now ready to take any questions.
Thank you, Hitesh. We'll now begin Q&A session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may raise hand on the screen. We'll take your name and announce your turn in the question queue.
Yeah. So the first question we have from Vimal from Alchemy Capital Management. Vimal, go in and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question, Hitesh, is on there is a lot of movement on GICs. A lot of companies, MNCs, are setting up global captive centers in India. That opportunity clearly seems to be large, looking at the kind of talent that is available in India, etc. So how are we sort of participating over here? Do we see a chance of, arresting some of the weakness in your normal IT services with, our participation in GIC sector in India? Thanks.
I mean, a lot of captives or centers are our clients. And we've been working with them for many years. And of course, if there is growth in hiring from captives, then Naukri will benefit as well. However, captive hiring as a percentage of total sort of IT hiring is still a small fraction. The IT sector employs over 5-6 million workers, while captives are maybe 15-20% of that. So it'll be, difficult to compensate for the loss in business from IT services companies, by just sort of focusing on captives. We'll continue to do that. Like I said, they're all our customers. But the hope is that the non-IT sector will continue to do better going forward. And that's about half our business as well. So let's see how this plays out.
All right, thanks. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear, Nikhil.
Go ahead, Nikhil.
So, Hitesh, just want to understand regarding the billing, which declined 4% YY. So, which segment basically led to this decline, given IT is under pressure since last three quarters, right? So, given now we are finally in a negative trajectory, so was it higher than expected decline in IT? Or non-IT actually was not able to more than compensate for the decline in IT? So some slowdown even in non-IT side.
Yeah. No, so IT hiring has been slow for a few quarters now. And, there is so sort of, it's not clear whether the slowdown in IT hiring has bottomed out. We don't know whether we've hit the trough as yet. The job speak index for IT continues to trend south. On the non-IT side, Q1 was okay, but July, job speak for even some of the non-IT sectors was not so good. So non-IT hiring also slowed down a bit in July, right? But we don't know whether it's because of the economy slowing down, whether it's it was because of the rains or something else. Things will get clearer, in a few weeks. Did IT hiring slow down more than expected? Well, anecdotally, a lot of companies have been telling us that, we grew by over 80% last year for a few quarters. And anecdotally, what we've been hearing, what companies have been telling us is that some of them have over higher attrition rates have come down and, their bench has grown. And it'll take maybe a quarter or two before things start going back to normal.
Very helpful. The second part is what you mentioned about the pricing, broadly stable on YY basis, I believe. Last quarter, we have seen some increase in pricing, especially in non-IT. So is it like on blended level, the pricing in IT decline, which basically more than compensate or offset the benefit in non-IT?
I don't have data on that, but we'll try and get back to you.
Sure. The last one is on the delayed renewal. Have you seen that closing ultimately in the month of July? And are we seeing some increase in delays or decision-making now compared to last quarter?
That always happens. See, when the market slows down, companies take longer to close deals. They have more time to negotiate. They're not under pressure to hire. They negotiate harder. So, they sometimes buy for shorter periods. They don't buy for a year. So these are, they downgrade in terms of the kind of products they buy. So this is normal during any slowdown. And what we are witnessing in IT is a slowdown. I mean, I'm sure all this is happening in the market.
Sure, it is. Thanks a lot. That's all from my side. And good luck for coming period.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikhil. The next question is from Jaideep Chararia from Advanced Securities. Jaideep, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Hitesh. Am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Jaideep.
Yeah. Hitesh, my question was regard to 99acres, the robust performance that we've been witnessing quarter on quarter. And somewhere in your initial comments, you also talked about reduction in the operating cash burn of the vertical from 46 year to 40 years. Just wanted to get some color around what has led to this reduction in the cash burn. Is it totally driven by top line increase or there has been some cutback on the marketing spends as well?
So 3-4 things. See, one, of course, top line is growth is healthy. So we've been growing at 20% plus for a couple of quarters now. At the same time, manpower costs are under control. It's not as if we're adding people. At the same time, we've also optimized our marketing spend without compromising on anything. So our marketing expenditure in 99acres has trended south. But at the same time, we managed to get more users on the platform. We're generating more responses. We're getting more inquiries. And that has helped us to sort of raise prices. Because the real estate market is buoyant, we are adding more customers as well. So it's a mix of everything. The market is good and we've been executing well, and that's resulted in top line going up and costs sort of remaining in control. And that's why the burn has gone down substantially.
Any plans of, it is just a follow-up, any plans of kickstarting the marketing campaigns once again, given that there are some high profile cricket matches in around the corner? So Asia Cup, World Cup, any plans around that?
So, we sort of plan quarter by quarter and a lot depends on what we're seeing in the market and, how sort of competition is behaving in this space. Hard for me to say how this will play out going forward if the market remains solid and if we continue to grow at 25% or so, year on year, we'll at least maintain this spend. I mean, will we increase it going forward? Time will tell. I mean, hard for me to say right now.
And has the competitive intensity kind of gotten normalized, has intensified? Just how do we understand the competitive environment in the real estate?
No, it's very competitive. There are a lot of players out there and they're all spending money. And, it's a good time. While there are portals and there are startups, a lot of our the real competition in this space, if you ask me, today for us is from the Googles and Facebooks of the world, which get a large chunk of advertising dollars from developers and large sort of channel partners. But yes, the space remains competitive. There is a lot of action still.
Thanks, Hitesh. That was from my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Jaideep. The next question is from Sachin from Bank of America. Sachin, go ahead and ask your question.
Thanks, Anand. I have three questions. First question, just wanted to understand a bit more about the mix shift happening towards non-IT. Hitesh, is it fair to assume that if IT continues to remain the way it is, you know, one could see a sort of a mix shift more towards non-IT, and just wanted to understand the implications on that in terms of billing and, you know, margins and so on and so forth.
See, about 50% of our business is indexed to IT hiring. And if IT hiring continues to be slow, and if non-IT hiring remains buoyant, then of course this mix could change over the next few months. May not change by a huge number, but, you know, from 50-50, it could become 48-52, 47-53, that kind of stuff. You know, and now a lot will depend on what happens in the long run. If IT hiring continues to be slow and non-IT and the economy, the domestic economy continues to do well, then of course the mix could change even more. Margins may not get impacted that much because, you know, it's not as if, yeah, it's the IT business a little more profitable, but it's not as if the shift is going to be too much from IT to non-IT.
Got it. And, you know, on the long-term point, you know, if we take a 3 to 5 year view, general thoughts about generative AI and the potential impact of that on IT hiring?
Hard for me to say. There are two schools of thought in this. One view is that every time there's a new technology, that it creates more opportunity to sort of build new products and create new businesses. And the services business around every technology, any new technology is always larger than the technology business around that technology. And if that happens this time around as well, and if you know, generative AI and the advances in machine learning and AI in general, you know, result in sort of more opportunity for Indian IT companies and for or if there is more outsourcing of jobs to India because people are hard to find in the US and every company in the US wants to leverage generative AI and they start opening their captives and so on and so forth, then it's, of course it could mean. You know, it could result in more hiring than normal in the Indian IT market. The other view is that, you know, generative AI will could make, you know, developers more efficient, and therefore their, you know, it may make them more productive, and therefore fewer developers may be required for the same work going forward. Let's see how this plays out. I mean, in general, you know, when there is new sort of when there are changes in technology, then people with new skills are required, and that creates opportunity, and that creates movement in the market, and that's good for us, provided, you know, the legacy business doesn't get hurt too much.
Got it. Pretty clear. And last question is on, you know, clearly for the last 6 to 9 months, we are seeing a funding winter. Just wanted to understand the implications on that, on, you know, the kind of investment opportunities you guys are seeing. Clearly in India till date, we have not seen massive down rounds. And, you know, there's ample capital around Series A, you know, and that level. So just wanted to understand your thoughts out here.
Sanjeev, you want to take that?
Can you repeat the question, please? Sorry.
Yeah, so Sanjeev, the question was more from point of view about the funding winter and the environment in India. What are we seeing right now at Series A and Series B, and, you know, so, any good opportunities for you?
No, there are plenty of good opportunities. There are the deal flow remains as strong. The valuations are more reasonable. Round sizes are smaller. At the same time, we are taking our time and being cautious simply because there's a new risk, and that new risk is. Will this company be able to get a next round of funding with other investors participating or not? And that's something, therefore, are we convinced enough that if you have to do the next 2 or 3 rounds solo in this company that we did in Zomato, do we have that conviction? And then do we have the money? And so on. So therefore, we're being a little cautious. But having said that, we think this is a good time to invest. If you recall, we invested in Policy Bazaar in 2008, just before Lehman went down. We invested in Zomato in 2010 during the global financial crisis. So we believe this because our investment time horizon is 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. Well, actually, it's longer from the balance sheet because, you know, it's 17 years. I mean, it's 15 years since we went into Policy Bazaar. We're still there. It's 13 years since we went into Zomato. We're still there. You know, so if you have a long-term time horizon, we believe this is a good time to invest, but be careful.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sachin. Next question is from Mohit from Nuvama. Mohit, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Mohit.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on, you know, the Jeevansathi and the 99acres business. Now, you know, your ad spends have definitely come down, but, you know, you have multiple times you have voiced that, you know, the competitive intensity is very high. Now, Jeevansathi, you said you have got more users, right? But if you look at the major competitor, that the realizations have come down there also. So can you give us a sense on, you know, how do we look at these ad spends going forward? Will there be a case where you will increase them further, you know, to gain more market share? Or is it that competitive intensity has, you know, tapered down a bit? Can you give some sense on that?
Yeah, so, you know, right now, as things stand today, it's unlikely that these ad spends will go up in a hurry. You know, our model has changed and we are now a premium platform and we offer chat for free and we are using that this feature to sort of try get more users on the platform. And we've seen, you know, serious growth over the last few quarters. I think the real challenge for Jeevansathi is to now see how we can monetize these users who have joined the platform over the last few quarters. And that's what we're working on right now. We don't expect competitive intensity in the space to go up in a hurry. But who knows what could happen 3 quarters from now.
So, can you say that, you know, you have been able to gain market share on the user, capturing the users?
Yeah, certainly on the user side, you know, we've gained traffic share, we've gained user share. But the challenge is to really monetize these, you know, additional users we've been able to get on the platform. We got them because, you know, we offered stuff for free, and that's good. And it's helped us bring down a marketing cost. Now we need to work on, you know, we need to develop products and we need to sort of figure out how to monetize this new user base better.
Sure. That's one helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mohit. Next question is from Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. Two questions. So one, Hitesh, I think a couple of quarters ago, you mentioned that if the domestic economy does well and non-IT hiring remains buoyant, you might consider increasing your distribution and sales network to cater to this demand. Is that something you pursued, or are you seeing any indications that the hiring is becoming more and more broad-based, given that previously you had spoken about sectors like hospitality, travel, and others that may have more distributed hiring than, say, IT, which is concentrated in a few cities? So that's question one. And based on this answer, I'll ask my subsequent.
Yeah. No, so, you know, you're right. You know, non-IT, the non-IT market is broader. You have non-ID companies in a lot of cities. We already operate in more than 40 cities. It's very likely that the number of cities we have physical offices in will go up over the next year or two. We are already seeing more activity in smaller towns than was the case maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So it's very likely that Naukri, you know, will have field offices in 60, 70, 80 cities over the next year or two. We are pushing hard on that front. But it's not as if we're going to hire a lot of people. These new offices start with 1 or 2 salespeople each. And these salespeople become profitable within a few months. In the larger cities where we already have offices and we already have field sales team, we are unlikely to hire more salespeople to sell existing products. But some of the new products which we've launched over the last couple of years, over the last few years, we may hire some people on the ground to push them harder. So products like Zwayam and IM Jobs and others. So let's see how this plays out. If the market continues to be slow for a long time, then of course we'll figure out a way to utilize the people we have more efficiently in the markets in which they're present. But right now, the hope is that the slowdown is temporary and things will bounce back in a couple of quarters. So let's see how this plays out.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. Just one extension to this question. Since you mentioned that the growth seems to be broad-based and you will perhaps open physical offices in more cities to cater to this demand for non-IT talent. Is 99acres also seeing something similar, or is it is the action only concentrated in the top five to eight cities?
See, the top eight cities are a big part of the business. So a lot, most of the business does come from the top seven, eight cities in both Naukri and 99acres. But we are seeing more activity, even in 99acres, in smaller towns. And it is very likely that even 99acres will open more offices going forward and expand to other cities. The contribution of these cities to revenue in the short term is not really large, but I think strategically important to cover each and every part of the country. And you know, over a 3-4-5 year period, revenue from these cities can become substantial.
Okay. The other question I have is on the recruitment acquisitions that you have done, right? Zwayam, DoSelect, the more recent ones, right? And Coding Ninjas. So these acquisitions seem to be focused largely on the IT verticals. Is that assessment correct? Or are these solutions, can you offer these solutions to customers across verticals?
See, some of these can be, you know, like iimjobs is actually meant for non-IT hiring. Zwayam is a recruitment management system, can be used for both IT and non-IT companies. You know, Coding Ninjas, we haven't acquired the business, but we own 51%. That's more IT skilling, upskilling for IT. But you know, the IT companies actually employ a lot of people, and they have larger budgets. So a lot of the customers for many of these products end up being IT services companies. They are not the only customers, but often a lot of the customers end up being the large IT services or large and mid-sized IT companies. For the simple reason, they hire a lot of people, they have big budgets, they have large workforces, and they need you know, these solutions more than the other companies. But if the non-IT market continues to be buoyant for the next few years, if this is the start of a new cycle, if India continues to grow at 5.5-6% even, for the next few years, then, you know, hopefully, I mean, we already have a lot of large non-IT customers. It's not as if we don't have them, but hopefully the number will on the non-IT side will also grow over time.
Okay. And Hitesh, I think you had spoken a couple of quarters ago about Job Hai, where it started from Delhi, but I think you wanted to expand it into new markets as well, right? So is there something something that we should know about that business now that you perhaps are taking it to more customers? And in terms of business development, are you working with any of the new companies that are setting up manufacturing facilities, perhaps capitalizing on the PLI schemes and maybe giving them any bespoke solutions through Job Hai? Any updates that you can offer on the gray collar workforce?
You're right. Job Hai, you know, we started with Delhi. Now we've taken it to many more cities. It's growing nicely for us. The number of jobs are growing. The number of users are growing. Engagement on the platform is growing. You know, the number of recruiters on the platform is also growing. So we're very happy with the progress. We haven't started monetizing aggressively as yet. Strategically, this is very important for us from a long-term standpoint. It's unlikely that it will generate a lot of revenue in a hurry. The unit economics will have to be worked out, since you know, it's not so easy to make money in the gray collar space. We'll have to keep our cost of acquisition low. We have to figure out how to monetize. But from a 5-year, 7-year perspective, I think it's a market we can't afford to ignore. It also helps us keep competition at bay. We don't want to sort of keep any doors open from which competition can enter and then sort of get into our main business. So we'll keep investing in Job Hai. The big categories for Job Hai, where we are seeing a lot of traction right now, are categories like delivery boys, categories like credit card sales, tele sales for domestic sort of customers, domestic businesses, not overseas call centers, SMEs, we have a few hundred thousand, tens of thousands of SMEs on the platform, and they need to hire a few people each every year. So these are the hotter categories. These are the categories where there is a lot of attrition and there's a lot of demand for talent. The manufacturing piece is very, very tiny for us right now, both in Naukri and on Job Hai.
Okay, thanks. The last question I'll ask is on 99 acres. Seems that you have turned a corner there with respect to traffic share as well as growth. So apart from the market buoyancy that is currently manifesting and perhaps offering you a tailwind, what is going right for you in 99 acres and competitively, what is changing there? Or is it just too early to comment?
No, see, I think it's a bunch of things. The market has been supportive. See, for a long time, real estate was, you know, in deep trouble. I mean, starting with demonetization and then RERA, then GST and NBFC crisis, COVID, you know, prices were sort of flattish. In fact, in real terms, prices had actually went down. The advertising spend in the space fell. You know, builders are sitting on lots of inventories. A lot of projects took time to get completed. So, you know, the market was in trouble for a long time. I think we have gotten to a point where it's looking good now. There's more demand. The industry has sort of restructured. There are bigger developers, better capitalized developers. RERA is being enforced strictly. So interest rates are reasonable. Incomes have gone up. After COVID, there is more demand for bigger homes. So in the industry, sort of, I mean, we don't want the prices to go up by too much because real estate will not become unaffordable. But otherwise, it looks good. At the same time, the other thing that just happened is that developers and builders and channel partners and brokers have become savvier about using the digital medium. So they've realized that their customers are all online and therefore they need to be online. And therefore spend is also moving from offline media to online media, ad spend. So one, ad spend is growing, and two, ad spend is beginning to move from offline to online. And three, I think we've also been executing well. So we've seen a surge in inquiries on our platform. We've seen more visitors on our platform. We are seeing, we've done a lot of good work on putting out interesting real estate content, whether it's locality reviews or society reviews or transaction prices. Real estate in India is a very opaque market. You know, there's no information available. So people sort of need to visit platforms like 99 acres and to understand what's happening to prices, what's happening to supply, what's happening to various other things in the market. So we are very happy with the way our team has also executed over the last couple of quarters. But fingers crossed, a swallow does not make a summer. It does not a summer make like this sale. So let's see if this continues for the next few quarters, and I'll be sort of, I'll feel more confident about saying all this.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot for the elaborate commentary. Yeah. All the best.
Thanks, Vivek. The next question is from Swapnil from JM Financial. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So for the first question is to Hitesh. And that's on the commentary that we had in the previous quarter, where the insinuation was that if the economy grows, let's say 6 to 7%, our non-IT business could grow 20 to 25%. Yes. But if I hear you correctly, you mentioned that July was a soft quarter. Now, soft right. month. Sorry,
soft month. Yes.
Yeah. So what has changed suddenly in the last 2 to 3 months? For us to say that things are looking soft now, especially in the non-IT.
Yeah, actually, July number surprised us, the JobSpeak number. So we are digging deeper to understand what could have happened. Was it that there was there's some shift in seasonality? Was it because of the rains, or is it because the because our post-COVID, the non-IT market opened up last year and there was a surge in hiring. So is it a base effect in some way? But yes, long-term, we continue to maintain that if the Indian economy continues to grow at 6% or more per annum, then it is possible to grow at 20% plus in India.
Just a continuation to that, you mentioned that there could be an impact of the base effect also. Can you just give us an understanding of how things moved between, let's say, last two, three quarters, how And it would be good if you can just give a sense compare it with pre-COVID things, how things used to be, and now how had the base moved then.
Look, see, pre-COVID, whenever we used to get 5-6% GDP growth, the Naukri business used to grow at 15-20% per annum. Now, last year Q1 billing growth was 80% in Naukri, right? Even Q2 billing growth is very high, 55-60%. So the base is high, and then of course it started moderating towards the second half. By Q4, I think we were down to 15%. 15%. So there could be some base effect here at work, and the base effect was a result of the market opening up post COVID, right? I mean, and suddenly there was a lot of demand. You had the great resignation, you had people coming back to work, etc. So that led to a lot of attrition. Things have stabilized to some extent since then. In the long run, like I said, once we go back to 5-6% growth, and once all we are over and done with all these COVID and post-COVID effects, growth should stabilize at 15-20%, depending on how fast the economy grows.
Right. And my second question is with respect to unique clients that you report on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So this quarter, again, you had a decent growth in sequential growth in terms of unique clients. The majority of the decline that has happened in your billings, that seems to have come from the realizations or people not renewing at the same rate that they were doing earlier. So can you just give some sense, like how should one see these trends going forward as well, and how to make sense out of these things? Whereas your unique clients continue to grow, but realizations would have come down significantly much more compared to that. Yeah.
Look, in real estate, we've added more customers. And what happens is when you add new customers, we've added a lot of new customers. They don't buy, long duration products to start with. They don't sort of buy high end products to start with. They test out the platform, they get a good response, they upgrade, we upsell to them. So normally, when you get in a lot of new customers, your ARPUs fall or tend to remain flattish because unless you take a serious price hike, because the new customers sort of, the customer mix changes towards more new customers in the mix, and new customers don't spend too much money to start with. In a slowdown, what you see is pressure on prices. You see pressure on even a new customer addition. You see pressure on renewals. So in a serious slowdown, what you get to see is, pricing falls, volume falls, number of customers also, customer acquisition also starts to fall. So that's the nature of the beast here in both the, real estate and Naukri. In Naukri, I haven't sort of looked at the numbers very closely, but I suspect, we may have lost some customers in the IT space. A lot of startups may have sort of stopped hiring. Stuff like that would have happened because of the market slowing down. On the non-IT side, we may be continuing to add new customers.
Got it. Yeah. Thanks a lot for that opportunity. Good.
Thanks, Swapnil. The next question is from Raghav Behani from Citi. Raghav, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi Hitesh. My question is on the non-IT side. So the realizations in non-IT seem to be much lower versus the IT. So any pockets here like BFSI where you can take price hikes? Because we have seen some of the banks report higher attrition and wage increases in 1Q. So any comments on the realizations over here?
See, we're not looking to take an aggressive price hike at this point in time. But in general, like I was saying before this, see, if the market heats up and if companies are start hiring a lot of people, if attrition rates go up, then what we've seen in the past is that companies negotiate a lot less. Therefore, our realized prices price goes up. They also, hire more sort of, they want more volume, and they also upgrade to high-end products. So see, in the end, hiring cost is a small cost. For many of these companies. In a slowdown, because they're not in a hurry, they negotiate harder, everything sort of, while in a good economy, they're constantly under pressure to hire. And they don't mind paying 10% more to Naukri at that time. So we are not looking to up our rate card rates right now. But in general, I mean, if the market is hot, you end up sort of discounting a lot less in the market.
Okay, just a follow-up question on the non-IT side. So some of the CapEx heavy sectors might slow down. Do you think they might slow down hiring before the general elections? Because in general, we see that some industries, just push back hiring or CapEx to post-election clarity. Any comments on that?
I have no idea how this works. In the past, at least what we have seen is that actually government spend more at election time. And that results in higher demand for a lot of products. And while hiring in some sectors may slow down, like you said, if the government is spending money on CapEx, they may sort of, I don't know how it works. But in general, there is more money sort of spent at election time. And that results in more demand for goods and services. And that may result in hiring in other sectors, for all you know. But I don't know how this plays out. I don't think it's going to have any material impact on the business.
Okay, yeah, sure. Thank you.
I just add to that? See, if a company has got is dependent on government contracts, right, and there is a serious possibility of the government changing, and therefore contracts either not coming through, being cancelled, a company may be cautious. But if it's not dependent on government contracts, or if the company is confident that the government will not change, I don't see it making a difference. So that's but we don't know what they're thinking.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Raghav. The next question is from Baiju Joshi from Mepri. Baiju, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, go ahead, Baiju.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions on behalf of Aditya Suresh. First is on renewals. So what is the nature of discussions that you're having with clients as you renew these contracts? You briefly touched upon this, but would you like to highlight anything in particular that is different this time?
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, so on the nature of discussions that you're having as you renew your contracts, so is there anything in particular that you'd like to highlight that is different this time?
No, see, what happened last year was, see, for about 7-8 quarters, there was surge in demand for IT talent because of post-COVID. Massive sort of increase in digitalization worldwide. And there was a scramble for IT talent, and attrition rates went sky high and salaries went sky high. And talented and people were hard to get. Our business also flourished as a result. Revenue more than doubled, profits maybe tripled over the last couple of years. So, and then there was a sudden sort of slowdown for whatever reason. Attrition rates, I think, have gone back to where they were pre-COVID. And suddenly companies realized that they had overhired, right? Because demand suddenly vanished. And what is happening right now as we speak is companies are getting, their bench size has grown is higher than what they would want it to be. And therefore they're sort of cut down on hiring, and they're waiting for some natural attrition. So that they go back to the number they are comfortable with. And then again, and hopefully, demand will also come back in a couple of quarters, and then they will start hiring once again. That's what companies are telling us right now, mainly.
Right. So is it fair to say there would be slightly more discussion on pricing or maybe tenure of contracts, anything in particular that comes up more?
No, see, it's like this. See, they have their hiring requirements have gone down, and therefore, they negotiate harder. They need fewer licenses. That results in sort of they're not growing anymore. They're not adding a new headcount, so that results in lower realization in the end. And some of them sometimes you may say, "Listen, we're not hiring for the next 1 or 2 months." So, come back after a month, come back after 2 months. So that happens during slowdowns. It happens every time.
Oh, understood. Second one is on billings. So given the decline, how should we think about marketing and other OPEX?
See, long term, we continue to be bullish on the Indian market. We think, and that's what we've seen for the last few years. These slowdowns don't last for more than 2, 3, 4 quarters. And business always goes back to normal. And we don't want to cut any long-term investments. We're currently spending maybe 20, 25 crores a quarter on new businesses, you know, like Job Hai and Ambition Box, etc., where we don't generate any revenue, right? And we're spending money on marketing. Doesn't move the needle in the short term for Naukri. But I think we think it's important, you know, from a long-term standpoint. So unless and until the slowdown is very prolonged and deep, and these investments will continue.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Raju. Next question is from Sarang from RW Investment. Sarang, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. My first question is to Mr. Chintan. Is it possible to give the breakup of other income on console level and how this could pan out through the year?
Should be mostly in treasury income, the other income part. Right. But if you want a more detailed breakup, then get back to you.
Sure, sir. My second question is to Hitesh also. So you said that major chunk of revenue is contributed by top 7 to 8 cities, right? Was it possible to put an approx percentage figure on maybe Naukri side and 99 acres?
Sorry, just say the top
7 to 8 cities, the revenue contribution.
7 to 8 cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we don't give that breakup, but it's a large chunk.
Okay.
Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad, Pune, these are our big markets.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. And my third question is to Sanjeev sir. Is it possible to share your experience and learnings from investing in 4B networks, if you're allowed to speak about it?
Okay. Chintan, you want to take that, or Hitesh, you want to take that, or should I take it? I can take it if you want.
You can take it. See, the matter is under arbitration. But Sanjeev, yeah, you can take it.
Yeah, so I've said this, to others who've asked me that, look, sometimes you make mistakes, right? Investments do go wrong. We have in the past, lost money on several companies, but we've made money on some, and we've made some big money on some. Overall, we're okay. But yes, 4B was a mistake. I think we have to admit it. I mean, you can't write off 276 crores or how much you've written off. How much you written off?
Yeah, total 288 crores is what.
You can't have 288 crores say it wasn't a mistake. It was a mistake.
Or any other step you're taking to ensure this doesn't happen internally?
Yeah. We discussed that in the board meeting today, and we have already reviewed internally, and we have taken some steps. We're taking more steps, and we continue to discuss at the board level. On how do we. Do we need to change some of our diligence practices, tighten it up? What are the signals and indicators and red flags that emerge during conversations with founders that, there may be a problem here? How we deal with other situations in case anything comes up, which thankfully so far has not in terms of fraud. Companies go under, but fraud is a different thing.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. And all the best. See you.
Thank you, Sarang. Next question is from Ashish Chopra from Goldman Sachs. Ashish, go ahead and ask your question.
No, sorry, my question has been answered. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ashish. Next question is from Vivekanand. It may be a follow-up question. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question from Ambit Capital.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Two questions. So this is to Sanjeev. So with Info Edge Ventures getting a new investor for its funds, is there any change in the objective or the conditions as far as these three funds are being run, whether it's governance or fund life or objectives of capital deployment? So that's question one.
Yes.
Secondly, Sanjeev, the comment you made on the round sizes getting smaller, valuations getting more reasonable. Now, you have two kinds of funds, right? One is funds that scout for new companies where you want to be the first check. And the other one is a follow-on fund, which is basically identifying the winners from the previous AIF and doubling down on them.
Yes.
So where are you finding it easier to deploy money in the current context? And if you could just help us understand how the follow-on fund is doing versus or how your process is for the follow-on fund versus the funds where you are investing in new companies.
So fund one is more or less done, okay? Because first checks have been deployed. There's unlikely to be a new company coming into fund one. And the follow-on fund only looks at the company of fund one and figures out where to go, how much, prospective winners, we'll back them more and more now. So it is fund two and capital 2B, which are actually scouting new companies and investing in them. And that is where we are saying we're finding it easier. We're finding the valuations lower, the round size is smaller, and we are being careful, right? And as far as the first question is concerned, no, we do not have any change in mandate. Our strategy remains the same. For the most part, I won't say always, we will have some a pocket of capital for growth and late stage, but that'll be a small fraction of the total fund. Most of the money, most of the companies we invest behind, we will try to be early and a first check or second check in there. And then double down and then invest further in the ones that you find good. So the strategy has not changed. But yes, there will be a certain pocket in both funds where we will do slightly later stage investments. So in the first fund we did, first one we did ShipRocket. That was the later stage investment. But the bulk of the money went into the bulk of the companies. Most of the companies or companies where the first check went in early.
Okay, this is helpful. Just one follow-up with respect to the follow-on fund that you have, right?
Yes.
So here, are you looking to be the only check for the subsequent rounds, or is it, are you open to getting, the winners getting external investors to co-invest?
In fact, we like to say that we want you to get external investors and we come alongside.
I see. Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Thanks, Vivek. So that was the last question of the day.
Anand, there's one question in the chat box. Just one second. So that question is for Hitesh. Hitesh, how should we see the trend in the recruitment business for a longer period of time? Since we are the dominant player, we have a large database, and we get already trend how the sector would behave in coming time.
No, long term, see, we've always said, recruitment is indexed to GDP growth. If the Indian economy continues to grow at 5-6% per annum, it should be possible to grow at 15-20% per annum in the Naukri business, in the core Naukri business. And around the core Naukri business, we are trying to add more bells and whistles. We acquired IIM Jobs, we've got Zwayam, we've got Hirist, we've got DoSelect. So we're trying to create new sort of opportunities for us. Job hai, a big opportunity in the longer, but from a 5 to 10 year time frame, not in a 1 to 2 year time frame. The blue collar segment has now become, there are tens of, maybe a few million sort of people who work in some of the sectors I mentioned, delivery workers, as counter sales people, as, tele sales people, and in salons and in restaurants and lots of other sort of small SMEs and small businesses. So long term, this also is a big opportunity, but we're working on the unit economics. It'll take some time to figure this out. So the core Naukri platform, index of the economy, depending on economic growth, if it can grow at between 15 to 25% or 10 to 25%, depending on where India ends up. Then we are adding these adjacent sort of verticals around the core Naukri business. They are small today, but hopefully they'll grow faster than core Naukri over time, but they're a small part of the revenue today. Coding Ninja, etc. are separate. We're trying to monetize job seekers and not recruiters. So that's a B2C model, not a B2B model. And then in the long run, over a 5-7-10 year time frame, blue collar market could start making sense. So that's the game plan. That's the strategy for Naukri. That's which sectors are likely to do well going forward. You know, if the government continues to invest in infrastructure, you know, if the real estate market continues to be buoyant, if it's the start of a new cycle, then, you know, we did not see much action in spaces like cement, metals, heavy engineering, oil and gas, construction, real estate, you know, heavy engineering, infrastructure kind of sectors for a long time. At one point in time, you know, this sector was as big as IT for us. But over time, over the last 10, 15 years, because of the twin balance sheet problem, because of whatever reason, the share of all these sectors in the overall Naukri revenue base, went down from maybe 30% to 15% or 14%. So if the infra sort of investments take off, and hopefully more jobs will be created for, you know, civil engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, site supervisors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this this kind of hiring may look up. Manufacturing, very, very tiny for us today, very tiny. It doesn't move the needle for us. But if the manufacturing sector takes off, you know, manufacturing hiring perhaps is less than maybe 5% or 7% or 8% of all hiring on Naukri today. So if this... you know, government is trying very hard with the PLI scheme and with other schemes. Now, if manufacturing in India takes off, then of course, you know, this could become a big for us. But again, it's unlikely to happen in the next 12 to 18 months. This could have play out over the next 5-7 years. Other services, that's where the action is. I mean, BFSI, insurance, healthcare, retail, travel, tourism, hospitality, these sectors have been strong and will continue to be strong. IT captives, we expect them to be okay. Domestic IT hiring, we expect it to be fine. Startup hiring, hopefully, will come back in a year or so. IT service, Indian IT services companies, fingers crossed. Let's see how it plays out over the next few quarters.
Yeah, Hitesh, there are two more questions. I think both are for you. One is from Sanjay Ladha. Is Ambition Box profitable? And can you share its business model and the growth prospects going forward?
No, see, Ambition Box, we are not monetizing, but we are using it to get more traffic. So, you know, it's a content play right now. It's deeply integrated with Naukri, and it's helping us, one, keep Glassdoor at bay, and it's now bigger than Glassdoor in India in terms of traffic. And two, it's helping us get new users to the platform, because there are enough users who visit Ambition Box to get information on salaries, to prepare for interviews, to, you know, read reviews and on companies and so on and so forth. We are not monetizing it, but the traffic we get through Ambition Box, of course, gets monetized through the revenue models that we have in Naukri.
Okay, next question is from Abhishek Bhandari. Can you please talk about the competitive intensity in the core recruitment classified vertical? Has it changed or remains status quo? Thank you.
Status quo, not much change there, not much change there. I mean, LinkedIn and us continue to be the two big players. And of course, LinkedIn is slightly different from us in terms of the segments we operate in. Not much action otherwise. No change.
Okay. The third question, Chintan, that's for you. This is from Karan Kukreja. How have the discussions with investors been? Investors such as FIIs and DIIs, are you seeing more interest from new investors as of now?
I think the better way to really kind of respond to this is that now that the results are out, we need to see what the real, you know, how the market is receiving the numbers, and is there a real movement in whether FII or DII. But otherwise, you know, we have not seen any kind of a different trend, you know, recently as compared to what it was past. And I think the pattern of holding remains, you know, more or less same. But yes, you know, every time there's a result, then we are, you know, watching, you know, how the pattern changes.
There are no more questions in the chat box, I think.
Yeah, so there is an online question again from Vivek from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you so much for the multiple follow-ups. So Hitesh, since you spoke today extensively about job hair, I want you to spend some time on competition there. So who is your real competition? Is it Apna, or is it the staffing companies? And secondly, as far as the segment goes, does it have similar network effects as your core Naukri.com, or is it very different because it's part offline? I just want you to spend some time on the details as far as job hai is concerned. You've been running this business for a while now, so that's why.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of companies who tried their hand at blue collar hiring, gray collar hiring, and it's been the case for years now. So over a period of time, we've seen at least 15-20 companies take a shot at this space. You have Apna. Apna, of course, has been at it. Then there's Work India, and there are a bunch of others. There's Quikr. There was OLX, which was very active till some time back. So a lot of companies have been trying, but you know, the space has, like I said, it's still small. But at least we are getting more users on the platform now. So there is more usage. There are more SMEs also trying out job hai, which was not the case. So these, you know, because I think the economy has become more digital than it was a few years ago, and people have become very savvy about using their smartphones. And of course, we are doing a lot of product work. So the job hai platform is very local. It's mobile first, and it's increasingly becoming more and more vernacular. So of course, the product is also evolving to sort of meet the needs of this segment. All kinds of players are trying, but it's early days. In the long run, will there be network effects in this space? I'm sure there will be a network effect in this space as well. The market is right now very, very early, very, very early. It'll take a few years for things to mature and stabilize in this space.
Okay, Hitesh, do you see staffing companies as competitors or collaborators?
Collaborators. In this collaborators. Space? They'll be clients.
Okay, great. Thank you, and all the best.
So that was the last question we had for the day. Vivek, we may conclude the call now.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, everyone. On behalf of InfoEdge, we conclude this call. Thank you. You will disconnect your lines now.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.